Well, they are some difficult thing to talk about this morning, but the interesting thing is, I mean, the interesting words are, you also go in the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. Remember that, whatever is right. He didn't say how much it would be. Pay you what is right. Sometimes, you know, we don't get what we think we want, but what we need. And there's a big, profound difference between that. You know, one of the things that we learned during our early school years, I think it's a very long way, a long time ago, perhaps those who are in school will tell me, is how to wait in a line, how to line up for things, how to take our turn. It's something we do all our lives. We used to be doing very good in this country at lining up. You know, we would line up even if we didn't know what we were lining up for. We're not so good at it now, actually. Sometimes we wait in a queue for good things. Sometimes we wait in a queue for bad things. As someone whose Christian name begins with the letter A, I was always near the front of the line, whether I wanted to be there or not. Those of you whose names begin with a Z, in the other end of the queue. One of the rules about waiting in a queue is that the front of the queue is first and the back of the queue is last. If you're in a bank, the people at the front of the queue get their money first. If you're in a shop, the people in the front of the queue get to pay their grocery bills first. If you're in McDonald's, the people at the front of the queue get their burgers first. Believe it or not, there is in fact a technical name for this kind of activity. It's called FIFO. It stands for first in, first out. And this is the way that we expect things to work in a well-ordered society. Once again, in today's gospel, Jesus is not setting out to fulfill our expectations. He doesn't conform to the model of society. Instead of first in, first out, Jesus says the last will be first and the first last. It's the exact opposite of what seems to us to be eminently fair and just. And Jesus illustrates this with one of his parables. And the situation in the parable isn't unusual. It certainly wasn't unusual at that time. A man needed some help in his vineyard, and so he went to the marketplace to pick up some laborers. That's where laborers milled around in those days, and where they did in this country, actually, until the early part of this century. He hired some at daybreak, he hired some about 3 hours later, and then about lunchtime, and some little while after that. That's a typical workplace situation for Jesus' time, as it was for us. But then late in the afternoon, he kept on hiring. Now, these workers have to get to the vineyard. The foreman has to give them the task, and they have to set up, and they have to begin working. They can't just do it. Basically, every worker has to go through a bit of orientation, even in the first century. You're not going to get your money's worth out of people you hire after the middle of the afternoon. Nevertheless, the employer in our parable is still hiring with only 1 hour left in the day. Now, this is not done in earthly society. Not done. Then to top it all off, the workers who barely had time to get to the vineyard before the sun went down received the full denarius, just as if they'd worked all day. They even received the denarius first before the ones who'd been there since the beginning of the day. This really demonstrates a total lack of business sense, doesn't it? It's certainly not at all fair. And I can see you all wrangling and getting really upset in the pews there as to how unjust it all is. But the landowner said, of course, I will pay you whatever is right. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like this man who hired these laborers. Even after it is too late to get on with any meaningful work out of them. It's like an employer who gives a day's pay for an hour's time. I wouldn't mind doing that, would you? The kingdom of heaven doesn't make sense from an earthly point of view. It's not fair at all. But then, you know, what is fair in this life? Our salvation isn't fair either, if you're going to really get down to brass tacks. The master of the entire universe took on human flesh. He suffered, he died, so that you and I can have eternal life. Is that fair? Is it fair, really? God the Father poured out the wrath of his justice on his own totally innocent son so that guilty people like you and me can go free. Is that fair? Even as the son suffered on the cross for the sins of the world, he turned to a thief on either side and said, "Truly, I say to you today, you will be in paradise." That's not fair, is it? A thief goes to heaven because the innocent Son of God suffered for his sin. Is it really fair that Jesus' suffering and death on the cross offers forgiveness and life and salvation to even the worst of sinners, even if they didn't believe until they reached the point of death? We might be tempted, might we, to think that God's system of rewards is pretty unfair. The conversation that the landowner had with the resentful laborer at the end of today's parable warns us against that sort of thinking. It's a warning for those of us who have been members of a congregation all our lives. Perhaps we're tempted to think a little bit more highly of ourselves because we've been Christians for a bit longer than she's over the back there. She didn't just come in the church and think she's the bee's knees, you know. We're always in danger sometimes of taking our faith for granted. We're always in danger of looking down on those who are new to the faith. I'm not saying anything about our congregation today, but this is what people can say. Once you think about the place where the worldly idea of fairness is in full force, you'll be happy that God is unfair with you. There's a place that continually doles out the fair punishment that sin deserves. It's called hell. It's filled with people who the Lord went to the cross to save. They're there because of sin. They're there because they've rejected the gift of salvation, which the Lord earned for them with his totally unfair suffering and death. God doesn't want people to go to hell, but they insisted that eternity was fair. How thankful can we be, in a sense, that God's salvation isn't fair? If God was utterly fair, then we would all have to spend an eternity in hell for every slander, every evil thought, every time anything or anyone has been more important than God in our lives. The fair thing would be for God to condemn us to hell for every sin that we thought, every word that we uttered that wasn't good, and every deed that we performed. We might think our sins as tiny, as unimportant. It's only a little white lie after all, you know. Nevertheless, in God's eyes, it only takes one sin to lose everything. We can be so thankful, can't we, that God is not fair. And I bet the citizens of Nineveh also were pretty glad in our first reading that God wasn't fair. And of course, Jonah learned a valuable lesson there too. God continues to search the marketplace of the world for workers in his vineyard. The Holy Spirit may find us in the marketplace early in the morning when, as infants, he works faith in us through the word combined with the sacrament of baptism. The Holy Spirit may find us in the market and give us faith at the last breath of our bodies before sunset. He might find us somewhere in between, at noonday perhaps. No matter when we receive this faith, we know that all the guilt of every sin is gone, taken away by Christ's sacrifice. We know that by his resurrection and ascension, our Lord Jesus has prepared a place for us. John's Gospel tells us about that. Whether our faith is old or young, we all receive the same gift of everlasting life. And so the parable in today's gospel illustrates the unfair nature of God's salvation. No matter when we receive faith from the Holy Spirit, we all receive the same heaven. And from this parable that we do learn that while there is still breath in our bodies, the Holy Spirit can still work wonders in us. And that's a great comfort for those who have loved ones who are perhaps exploring faith later in life. It's a great comfort for those who do come to faith at the very end of their lives. Now, of course, there'll be some people who say, if God will give me all of heaven, whether I become a member today or whether I become a member in 10 years' time, why should I bother coming to church? I just do it at the end, you know, and save all the boredom of priests like me preaching to you all the time. Why not enjoy life and have a great old rumbustious time and then become a Christian at the last minute? Well, perhaps the first answer that comes to mind is that no one really knows when the sun is going to set. You never know. Accidents happen, and they happen quickly. Sometimes death is the result of a long illness, and we know the time is soon. I've ministered to so many people in that situation. Other times, death comes in the form of a drunk driver or mechanical failure, and death gives us no warning at all. Like what happened, of course, in those terrible earthquakes in Mexico. Don't resist the Holy Spirit because you think you have plenty of time. The time of salvation is now, now. Another answer, of course, comes after a little more thought, is that God wants to be a part of your life now. There are blessings, aren't they, that God gives us while we still work in the vineyard. We have the knowledge that even now our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. We have the confidence and hope of knowing that Jesus is with us in this world. We've got the privilege of talking to God at any time, and especially as we gather together as his church here in Holy Cross. Even though the one who comes to faith late in life receives all the gifts of heaven. He has lived much of life deprived of the comfort and confidence that faith gives, but that doesn't matter in the end if he comes to faith in trust and in confidence. And so the parable in today's gospel reminds us, amongst many other things, that sometimes it is really good to be treated unfairly. Whether we are faithful Christians all our lives or receive the gift of faith with our last breath, we all receive the same thing, eternal life with God. Thank God that life is unfair. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.